Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. We figure the weekend is a good time for that. Time to lean back a little, slow down, meet somebody interesting, hear what people are saying. Of course, when we're not on the radio, you can catch up with us on Facebook. Just search Indiana Weekend. And we'd love to hear your thoughts about the show, your comments, thoughts about whom we might talk with, or where you would like to hear our microphones. Our email address is, conveniently enough, indianaweekend@gmail.com. I'm John Strauss. They're probably the largest machines we see on a regular basis, enormous railroad locomotives moving millions of tons of freight across the country. Imagine owning one of those things, or better yet, rebuilding one. That's the task of a group of Central Indiana volunteers who run the State Fair Train and other special attractions from the Indiana Transportation Museum. Their Polar Bear Express rides just ended, but they have a few events in the days just after Christmas. A full schedule and all the other details are at itm.org. But in the meantime, we thought you might like to meet some of the people behind the scenes. Like so many community ventures, there's a dedicated core of volunteers who make the Transportation Museum work. The other day, we stopped by the group's headquarters in a Noblesville City Park, where Art Hall, Michelle Yerkeson, and Bob Gold were working on a restoration of the old 587 nickel plate steam locomotive, which sat for years in Broad Ripple Park in Indianapolis. After years of work, they still have a ways to go, but they're getting there. As we could see when we stood in the enormous train shed looking at 587 and another diesel locomotive they're also restoring.
I'm Art Hall. I'm a member of the board of the Indiana Transportation Museum, a former chairman of the board. Right now we're in a cold barn with a couple of big locomotives. One of them is a 1919 steam locomotive, and the other is a diesel locomotive that we're rebuilding.
It's 1918.
1918, pardon me. You're right,
you've been corrected.
I've been corrected, yes. Yes. And they're two very distinct projects. Obviously, one comes from the early age of the railroads and the other from the later age of the railroads. It takes whole different skill sets in order to be able to work on these. Bob up there is our steam engine expert.
Bob is standing on top of the steam locomotive. It must be 25 feet in the air. He's, yeah, they can't see you waving, Bob, but...
But he...
oh, no.
But he is a professional in restoring antique steam equipment.
As we look at this 1918 locomotive, I mean, this looks like it must be thousands of hours of work to get this thing back
it
going.
Most definitely is. As to where we found it, this is a locomotive that was in Broad Ripple Park for a long time, just sitting there. When the railroad was done with it, they gave it to Indianapolis. Indianapolis had ownership of it up until about 3 years ago, although they had it on loan here since the early 80s, and it was once rebuilt before and used to run on the fair train and excursions as far south as Cincinnati. Since then, every 15 years, federal requirements are they have to be rebuilt. The boiler has to be rebuilt, and that's what's in process right now. And it now is owned by ITM, thanks to Michelle Yerkeson, who worked with the Indy Parks and Recreation and got them to deed this over to us.
How many years will it take to get 587 ready to roll again?
Well, Michelle, I think we've been working on it, what, about 3 years now?
We've been working on it, actually, 68 months. And we have probably at least another year to go. We won't really know until we do some testing.
Sure.
And then one of our constraints, obviously, is money, the funding for this. We do have a grant which covers a large portion of it, but the rest we have to raise the money for. And we do this with all volunteers running our various excursions. ITM.org details all those excursions. The one going on right now is the Polar Bear Express, but we also do the fair train, pumpkin trains, and things of that nature.
What does it cost to do a project like this, 587?
Bob, what would you say? We're probably $500,000?
When it's all said and done, yeah, that for this go-around.
That actually seems low compared to what?
Well, a good bit of that is because we're using as much volunteer labor as possible. And that is a major constraint on this is the amount of labor that goes in. That's why the railroads got rid of the steam locomotives, was because they were so labor intensive.
A steam engine
Sitting here, it's dead cold piece iron. When you put a fire in it, it comes alive. And each one of these has its own unique personality. No two of them operate the same. It becomes a warm living being to me.
Are there plans? Are there drawings for this? I mean,
there are. We have drawings, but we do not have a complete set, and each drawing doesn't detail every single part. So some of, like he was saying, some of these you're going to have to back engineer and build again.
This is a tough environment for nonprofits right now. A lot of the companies that would support efforts like this, mm-hmm. they're having a tough time. What's it like raising money for this?
It is difficult, and especially as some of the other outside grants have disappeared. The Save America's Treasures grant is one of those that disappeared this past year, and that's basically due because of the economy. It is difficult. The thing that we stress is that this is a piece of Central Indiana history. It's built for here. It's stayed here its almost entire life. And we want to keep it here, and we want to let the public enjoy it. So that's really important.
What do we know about this engine? Where it was used and what it did? And
it was part of the Nickel Plate, which is the line that we run on right here through Noblesville, Fishers, Tipton, Atlanta. And it spent almost its entire life here. It spent some time around the Buffalo area, but mostly it was right here in Central Indiana. And then it was retired in 1955. And went to Broad Ripple Park after that.
As an engineer, is there something that you like about this kind of technology as opposed to the newer equipment?
I'd say the biggest thing is nostalgia. You know, the thing we're all looking forward to is when we get this done, the first time we lean on the whistle. People will hear that whistle around town, and we will have a crowd up here so quick because people just love old things like that. So yeah. Nostalgia is a very big part of it.
Well, you've been working on it about 5 years, and you think you have maybe just 1 year to go. Does it feel like you're seeing the, you know, I have to tell you, to me, it looks like it needs maybe one more coat of paint or something.
I definitely see a lot less holes than we had even at the beginning of the summer, so that's good news. I'm saying another year and a half at least.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'd like to say a year and get it under steam, but reality is.
One of our major constraints, of course, is funding. You know, we have a grant to do probably 60% of the work, but the rest of it, we have to earn the money. We're not raising money by asking for it. We're earning it by running trains. We're doing every bit of this with volunteers like the three of us here going out and working on the weekends and the evenings to earn this money so we can put it into this piece of history.
That's Art Hall of the Indiana Transportation Museum in Noblesville with Michelle Yerkeson and Bob Gold as they took a break from restoration of the old 587 nickel plate steam locomotive. It's amazing what volunteers have done over there, from restoring antique locomotives to actually serving as the conductors and even engineers on the Fair Train, Polar Bear Express, and other special trains.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the tracks. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line to let us know what you think. Email indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
Talking about those special attractions of East Indiana, including the Indiana Transportation Museum, which operates a variety of special tourism trains between the Indiana State Fairgrounds, Noblesville, and Tipton County. Details are at itm.org. We stopped by the group's cavernous train shed in a Noblesville city park to talk with board members Art Hall and Michelle Yerkeson about the future of the rail line, the discussions about bringing light rail from the northern suburbs into Indianapolis, and the need for volunteers. If you've ever thought what it would be like to be a conductor or an engineer or to help reconstruct their massive 1918 steam locomotive, these may be the folks for you.
We have, just on the steam engine project, we have about 25 regular volunteers who come in on weekends. Bob is here Friday, Saturday, Sunday usually, so our volunteers come in on those days, and they come as far away as Southern Illinois, Terre Haute, Northern Indiana. I mean, some of them are on the road literally longer here and back, longer than they're working. So, you know, it is a draw for people. And we're always looking for new volunteers, too.
How do people get involved? And what sorts of things might they be doing?
If you have mechanical ability, we'll set you up and get you started.
If you happen to know how to rebuild a locomotive, for instance, that would be helpful,
right? I've learned a lot. I mean, I came into this not knowing a thing, and I've learned a lot. Bob is a great teacher. So we're really lucky.
Tell me about that, because I'll bet that's true. I'll bet you represent, by trade, you are a...
stay-at-home mom.
You're a stay-at-home mom, and now you're rebuilding a locomotive.
Yeah.
What's the thing that you've learned that you didn't think you would have surprised you a few years ago?
I mean, 10 years ago, if you had said, you're going to work on steam engine. I mean, I had other experience with trains. My dad was a big train fanatic, but... But, 10 years ago, I would have never thought I would be doing this. But, I've learned a lot. I come in and work on the weekends and, do some of the mechanical work. And it's definitely something that anybody can do. We'll get you started, start you out slow and see how you go, and we'll get you going.
Is Bob a pretty good teacher?
He is. He has, because he knows he's going to get a lot of volunteer labor, you never quite know what you're going to get. So he's really good at figuring out what you're good at and shooing you off to do that task.
Well, what are the kinds of jobs that volunteers do on this locomotive?
We've done everything. Everything from setting stay bolts to riveting. Our volunteers have heat and bent steel to go in the firebox. I mean, the whole gamut, really. It sounds exotic, but it's really a lot of hard work.
Well, about the time that you finish this one, you'll be getting very good at it, so you'll need another steam locomotive to build.
One is all I can handle right now.
So how do people get involved? They should go to ITM.org?
They can. They can go to ITM.org, or they can call our office, which the number is also on ITM.org. If they leave their names and numbers with our office staff, they get forwarded to me, and then I can make contact with them that way.
I could make another point on volunteers. We not only need people to work on the trains, we need all kinds of people. We have, if you're mechanically or electrically talented, we can get you to work on here. If you're a woodworker, I'm a woodworker, furniture builder. I just finished building windows for a restoration of a dining car. If you're an administrative type person, we always need help in the office. If you just like to meet people, we always need people to ride the trains as car hosts and just interact with the people and help them get on and off the train. During the fare train, we run 170 round trips. It takes a lot of people to staff that. If you're interested in driving a train, we offer classes. And after a period of a year and a half, 2 years, if you go through the classes and get the experience, you can become an engineer. So
is that something you get a license for?
Yes. And we are authorized to grant those licenses. So we can use anybody who wants to help out, anybody who wants to be part of a group. And many people here are railroad enthusiasts. Other are just people enthusiasts. They're here for the experience. They enjoy the trains, but they're here for the experience.
You must see the people who come in who are train or railroad enthusiasts, and I'll bet you can spot them.
Yes, you definitely can. When people come in and the first thing they want to do is climb up on the steam locomotive and things like that, you're pretty much sure that that's what they want to do.
Bob is going, no.
Yeah, right. We do have to patrol the yards out here occasionally. People get back in here into unsafe situation, or try to, and we keep them from doing that. So,
occasionally, from time to time, and I think right now, Indianapolis and the region are looking at light rail and the possibility of running trains out there. What do you think about that? Is that something you look forward to, or would that be your tracks that they would be doing that with?
There is some talk about using this track. For me, that's a difficult question. I'm biased. I really want to run my steam engine.
We do have some plans that we're promoting, and we've met with different organizations downtown, the Colts and a couple of others, and a lot of them are interested in getting the train as an entertainment train back down to Union Station. We have a roadway clear down to 10th Street, the north end of Massachusetts Avenue. Our short-term goal would be to get rail back in down there and have train excursions down to the Mass Ave area. This is right where the Monon Trail, the Cultural Trail, and the north end of Mass Ave come together. So we would have potentially run trains down there on the weekend. Now, this, we're still trying to build support for this, but we have things like we have a baggage car we've converted to carry bicycles. So we have worked some trips where we can bring people with their bicycles up and bring them up into the county, let them ride, bring them down. The ultimate goal, of course, is to get to Union Station. Again, that's something we're trying to promote. It's in competition with the light rail, of course, and light rail is actually a misnomer. I don't think they'll have light rail here. They'll have regular rail. But we have some proposals out there how we could be a kind of a beta test where we could, if we could get our tracks in and a bridge over 10th Street down there, we could bring people downtown Indianapolis to Colts games, Pacers games, Christmas shopping at Circle Center, even take the tracks out to the Speedway. These tracks still exist out to the Speedway for the various races. So we're promoting this as kind of a beta test where if we were able to get enough money to do this, let's see how many people will ride trains. Before you invest $1 billion, give it a test.
Art Hall of the Indiana Transportation Museum in Noblesville on the future of their rail line and how it might be used as part of the wider transit picture in central Indiana. By the way, what would you think about volunteering with them? Could you imagine helping build a locomotive, or better yet, drive one?
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss right here on Indiana Public Radio.
Still a few train rides left in the last weeks of the year at the Indiana Transportation Museum. We're hearing from some of their leaders today about the volunteer-powered railroad. There are openings in case you'd like to learn to be a conductor or engineer. Craig Pressler has been a board member since 1973. It's amazing to get a tour of their cavernous train shed. Think of a giant space the size of a basketball arena where volunteers are rebuilding two giant locomotives.
How common is it that equipment like this, that you basically buy for scrap by the pound, gets refurbished enough to meet the exacting specifications and rules of the FRA and get back on the road again?
Not all that common. And our focus here was to present what we have in the manner in which you would have found it originally, so the public would get the real experience. And as you asked earlier about the surprise of riding a train, one of the big surprises is you can get up. You're not stuck in the seat. We have many people ask, where's the seatbelt? Well, if you need a seatbelt on a train, you have a bigger problem. But you are free to walk the whole length of the train. So there are many different types of cars, and to be able to experience those in their original context, so you can have dinner in the diner and relax in a lounge car and see what the president's car was like, railroad president's car, that's a real thrill. And it's quite a shock to some people to realize you can do that.
How many locomotives do you have like this that you've taken and fixed up and you're running with now?
We have 10 diesels plus the steam locomotive. And of the diesels, we've overhauled 3 switchers, 2 F units. They're working on the third one. That's the streamlined diesels like Lionel is, you'd be familiar with. And 2 of the road diesels, freight diesels, are running at this moment out with the Santa Claus train. They're dual purpose. Well, they're actually all dual purpose. They can run freight or passenger. But
I guess what amazes me is that you could have a largely volunteer operation not only operate this equipment, which would be an enormous challenge itself, but maintain it. In the case of this one, this is it got to be just an enormously complicated job. We're looking, by the way, we're standing next to this locomotive and we're looking through the wall because the panels are out and stuff's being done to it.
Yeah, this particular locomotive has a V16 engine and it's 9,072 cubes, about 1,800 horsepower, but it's made by General Motors and it's made to be worked on. So anybody with a common set of tools could work on it. It's just the knowing what sequence and how to take it apart and put it back together. So there are great skills involved, but it's not difficult at all.
Is there anything particular about Indianapolis that gives you an advantage? In other words, I know we have the train shops down in Beech Grove. And so historically, have there been a large number of people in the Indianapolis area who could do this?
Historically, at one point, because of the number of railroads in the area, 25% of the state's workforce worked for a railroad or a related company. Because at one point, there were 13 separate lines feeding into Indianapolis with the electric trains, the trolleys, and 16 steam road lines. So there were 29 routes out of town Union Station had 200 passenger trains a day, and the Interurban Station had 600. So a picture of being able to choose among 800 trains a day in Indianapolis. So we have a very strong background with that, which was the impetus for starting the museum.
Does there come a time when the gentleman who can do this kind of work, rebuild a complicated piece of machinery like this, are no longer around?
Not really, because the stuff that's running today is more complex. These are simple by comparison. If you could work on a new one, these wouldn't be that difficult. And as I mentioned, it's like working on your truck. Just the tools are bigger and a lot of the parts are a little bigger.
There's kind of a new relevance here to what you're doing in that you start with a museum that has exhibits that you can look at. Then you're a museum that has exhibits that people can ride on. Then you have a museum that's providing transportation down to the Indiana State Fair and other runs. Now there's some talk about the possibility of a transit rail helping solve the transportation problems of the central Indiana metropolitan area. Is it possible that you folks could have a future in that?
Well, we'd certainly like to participate because we have been doing this for 30 years. We do know something about running trains and handling lots of people. As I mentioned, there were a number of lines feeding downtown that are potential lines that could be used that radiate in all directions from the city. And we've put together several studies and reports on that for quite some time. And to me, the key is to focus on the reality of what can be done and try to keep the minimum of politics in it because it can be done economically.
Craig Pressler, longtime board member of the Indiana Transportation Museum, on the group's mission and future. More information about the group is available at itm.org. That includes still a few special holiday train rides before the end of the year. And if you're feeling extra generous, I think you can charter one of those trains for you and your closest friends to go riding. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. Reminder that we also need your stories, your ideas for places we should go, and people we could talk to. In the meantime, thanks. Have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.
For Ball State, they played at the Dome downtown, so we picked up 700-plus students and faculty in the pep band at Muncie and ran straight in. And they were thrilled because they said the event began in Muncie. And not just worrying about getting everybody down here and home safely, the moment they got on the train, the pep band's running through the train playing, and it was a spectacular event.